We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe Rose Show with Zach Krantz. Donovan Monroe with you here on AM 560 Sports WQAM. Regular season finale for the Miami Hurricanes tomorrow. Hope it's not the season finale because I'd like to be in a bowl game. But let's bring on Miami Hurricanes color analyst, former team captain, Don Bailey Jr. Don, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, first of all.
Absolutely perfect, and I hope you guys did as well. We're headed back from New York right as we speak.
I love it. Well, Don, first things first, and I know you've obviously been away from town and away from the team for a couple of days, but any expectation you have on whether or not Tyler Van Dyke is going to play? Because I think he will, but I'm not necessarily basing that on inside info. I'm wondering if you have any.
Well, I don't have any inside info, but I can tell you, and I think Brian will attest to this, that If there is a way that he can start, he's going to start. I mean, I have not seen anything deter him at all ever through his career. And he realizes also that Miami needs to go to a bowl game. They need to win this football game, finish the season at 500. And he gives Miami offensively the best opportunity to do that. So I hope he's in a position to play. I hope he's in a position to start, and it will really just depend on if he's medically cleared or not, and because I'm sure he's going to do whatever he can.
Now, when you look at this Pitt Panthers offense and team, you know, they're gritty, they're nasty up front, but, you know, they got that guy in the backfield, Israel Abanaconda. And, you know, Miami has struggled with, you know, the run game against Florida State, against Clemson. You know, to me, he's the best running back in the ACC. You know, how does his defense in the last game of the year all of a sudden turn it on and say, we're going to stop one of the best guys in the ACC?
You know, B, I don't know that you stop him. I think you really just try to control him. And he's, you know, he had a 300-plus yard game against early in the season against Virginia Tech. He's 8 out of 10 of them, I think, are over 100. He's exactly really what they want to be. He helps them be what they want to be. And when you got a defensive head coach like Pitt does with Narduzzi, he wants to run the football. He wants to control the clock. They're already controlling the clock. They're over 32 minutes of time of possession. And the reason I think that they want to do it is obviously it helps their defense, but they've struggled at quarterback. I mean, their quarterback, yeah. Slovis, is – he's really interception to touchdown. He's one of the worst in the conference. He's only thrown 7 touchdown passes, and he's got 8 picks. That makes it promising for Miami, but it also tells you that they're almost a one-dimensional team where they want to run the football. And he's had a couple games under 50% completion rate as for the season. It's like 57 or 58. And, coming off a picket, that's a heck of a change. But they adapted, and they went to a run-based offense. And if you're a defensive guy, you know, that's what you want to do. You want to chew clock, run the football, and let your defense try and win the football game for you.
And Pitt's got a nasty defense, Don. And, you know, something we've been talking about all season long for Miami, we've seen it in a couple games, not very consistently, is getting a running game going. Now, I don't know exactly what, you know, the full health of Miami's backfield is going to be. Is Chaney ready to start getting some carries or not? I'm not so sure about that. But, you know, going up against a pretty nasty front 7, what's it going to take for Miami to get the ground game going a little bit?
You know, let's start with Chaney. Guys, as much as I loved what he did 2 years ago and last year for the first couple of games before he got hurt. He hadn't been hit all year. Yeah. I mean, he hadn't been in a game all year long. And you're going against a seasoned defense that's one of the best at rushing the passer and stopping the run, not only in the conference but in the country. I don't know how many carries you can count on him, even if you get any. Right. You know, you're going to have to go back to Knighton and try and manufacture yards between Knighton and Parrish. If you can get both of those guys on track, you know, you'd hope you can, you know, bust the 100, 150 yards rushing, which is a big feat to do against these guys. But it'll help neutralize that defense. And the thing you want to avoid most of all is having to throw the football to win. And that's when, you know, Pitt can get nasty, and they've got a great pass rush scheme, and their corners are used to having to lock down the wide receivers, and their safeties are used to playing pass defense and run support because of the philosophy that they have at Pitt. So it's going to be a heck of a game. I still think, you know, the tight end has had a lot of success against Pitt. If you know, Will Mallory specifically, I think you got to find him. And you really just got to go back and, you know, see what Miami can create on the outside as far as the receiving position goes. And that's something we've really tried to hope for every single week. But maybe you can get something done outside, because that's where, if you look at what Van Dyke did last year, he threw for over 400 on him.
Yeah.
He out-dueled Pickett. But he had, you know, he had two wide receivers that had phenomenal days. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. Can Miami win? Yeah. I mean, especially if you look at the schedule that you look at who Pitt lost to. Pitt lost to Georgia Tech. They lost at Louisville, and they lost by almost 20 points at North Carolina. So, you know, they've been susceptible as well, you know, but they did play Tennessee good. They took Tennessee to overtime. So you don't know what team you're really going to get. They've won the first three games of November, so they're a hot team right now.
And I was going to ask you that, because you mentioned their nasty defense and, you know, what they do and what Coach Narduzzi loves to do. You know, let's just say it is Jakari Brown going again, and we know what the output they put against Clemson with the 8 yards in total offense. You know, what can they do, or what can Coach Gattis do to help out the young quarterback and generate some offense against a defense like this?
You know, Brian, I wish I had like a magic answer for that, but you're so limited. I mean, you're starting, let's just say that it is Brown. You know, he had a very good day against Georgia Tech, but everybody did. The defense did, the offense did, and he did. And then you go and you face an opponent like Clemson, and they neutralize you. They neutralize you everywhere because of their speed, their size, their experience. So now you come into this game. If Jakari has to start, my concern is that how much offense can you put in? I mean, Coach Gattis has really had to have a new offense really since Van Dyke's been hurt. He's had to have a new offense almost every single week. So how much could it have expanded from week one of Brown to week two to Brown to this week here? I think there's going to be limitations.
Yeah.
And you got to ask the other guys to step it up. And I just don't see the magic wand coming out and him being the guy that we anticipate him to be, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now.
Joined here by Don Bailey Jr., Miami Hurricanes color analyst, former Miami Hurricanes team captain. You know, Don, a debate that I see all the time among Canes fans is, do we even want to see this team in a bowl game? You know, one of my big takes is, I think the practice time is important. I know some try to say it isn't, but I think especially given, you know, you've got a head coach who's about to head into his first full offseason, and I think it's really, really important for him. And by the time the bowl practices would start, you know, I'm sure by that point the guys who don't want to be here would already be off the team and in the portal. So then you're focusing only on the guys who do want to be here. I think the practice time is incredibly important. How important is that?
I think anybody that says they do not want to go to a bowl game, it's an absurd statement.
Yeah.
And there's, first of all, that means you finish the year with 5 wins instead of 6 in the regular season. So that means you're a .500 team or you're a losing team. I'm going to take the .500 team. that means that you sacrifice, I don't know, let's just say the number you can have is about 15 practices. Do you get it? I don't know. You lose that many practices. You bring up a great point with what does it do for the future? Well, I think the 5th is the day, the 5th of December is about the time when everybody has to declare if they're going to transfer. So let's say you have your team, okay? It's going to be short numbers, but it's going to give you a spring practice in theory with the guys that want to be here. Right. And I think that that's going to be the foundation of your team for next year. This core guys that are here right now that didn't check out or don't transfer, this is what we're going to win with. But really, this is a group that you're going to win with next year because they have already bought into the system. They know what Coach Cristobal expects and demands and is needed. And you don't have to wrestle that anymore. Everything's been defined. And then you're going to have an infusion of talent, and hopefully it's going to step up the play, and the talent level is going to mean more wins. So I'm just a guy that I shake my head in disgust when anybody brings up to me, well, we don't need to go to a bowl game. Well, look, there was probably 15 years before Coach Schnellenberg got here, we didn't go to a bowl game. Why don't you ask those guys that were here for 15 years that never had the opportunity? Or why don't you ask DJ Scaife if he would like to play another football game after he runs through the smoke for the last time? You know, the older guys especially, it hits you between the eyes. We're done. I mean, the NFL's not guaranteed, and this is the greatest time of your life. And to me, I'm all for it, and I would debate anybody in the world about going or not going, because I would trust my belief would be if anybody denies that it's the right thing to do, then they have not been involved in the game, you know, at a collegiate level and understand the benefits of it and how much fun it can be and really how much it helps your program. Because if you look at the recruiting aspect of it, we recovered, yep. We went to a bowl game, and that we showed what we have. And I just love the idea of it. So if you're looking for the other answer, I'm positively the wrong guy.
Well, no, you know, and I wasn't looking for the other answer. Go ahead, Brian.
What I was going to add is Don's right. You know, when you look at the fans on the outside in, they're like, yeah, why'd you want to go to sorry bowl game, blah, 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 blah. But when you're a player, you just want the opportunity to wear the jersey again. You just want an opportunity to put on the helmet and play with your boys one more time, because everyone always asks me, you know, I started up in the Orange Bowl, then we played against Florida in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, then we played LSU, and then our last year we went through a lot of struggles, and then we played in the Boise game in Boise, Idaho, and Blue Turf. So they're like, oh, that had to be horrible. And I always tell people, it actually was a blast. It was one of the most fun I ever had, but you also got the opportunity to wear the jersey again and run out the smoke one more time, and I wouldn't trade it for a world to go back to Boise game. It was awesome.
It's fantastic, and you bring up all the points. But the other side, too, is that we're building here. And this is a chip that Miami can put in their pocket that they did go to a bowl game. And I don't know. I'm looking forward to calling one. I want to go and call another game. I mean, I don't want the season to end at midnight on Saturday night. I want to go call another game. I don't care if it's December 17th or 24th, whatever it is and where it is. I'm looking forward to doing that. So, and I'm sure Brian wants to do another pregame, and you want to do another postgame. And yep. I mean, to us, we're having fun. Can you imagine being on a team with 90, 85 of your best friends and the chance to go somewhere and do that? Just let it continue, man, as long as you can.
I love it. Last thing real quick, Don. Sure. Someone on the text line wants to know, do you have all of your lines ready for the Pitt game?
you know what? I've got to go home and go back through the whole year because this has turned out to be leftover Saturday. So Joe coined it last year at Duke, I guess it was, and because of the travel and the guys being off, we really hadn't got our list. So I go back and cull through everything, and I might have a couple of my own that we're going to throw in. So we will definitely have some lines. And Brian, you know, you're a very creative guy. Why don't you come up with a couple for me? That's a good assignment between now and tomorrow at 5 o'clock for you. Come up with a couple for me.
I don't know.
Now they got to be G-rated.
I was going to say, I don't know if my lines are going to be able to say on the radio, but hey, you know, when I'm sober today, I'll come up with them. Once I start getting some drinks in for the game later today, I'm not coming up with no ideas. It's going to be a very passionate line. I got you. I'm going to try.
Go ahead. Yeah, at least one.
Okay.
We got to get one. And it could be one of those lines you use at, you know, 2 2 o'clock in the morning. It could, if it's cleaned up, you know what I mean?
Okay, cool, pick up okay. line.
All right, I got that.
Okay,
all right,
that's all right. No, but I hope all the Canes fans come out and say goodbye to these seniors and celebrate it, and it's going to be a heck of a game, because I'm going to tell you, Pitt's a good football team and a fun football team to watch, but there's more to say at stake here than meets the eye.
Well said, as always. Don Bailey Jr., have a safe flight and have an awesome call tomorrow night.
We'll do it. And Brent, thanks for having me. Alex, thanks for having me. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Let's do it.
DBJ,
okay,
the man, the myth, the legend. Back after this here on AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ella lleva un tiempo sola, pero en las redes no suena. No podemos guiñar.
Thanks again, Don Bailey Jr., for joining us. We got World Cup action, and I'm just looking back at this Iran win over Wales. Now, I know Stunt and Steve and I are both boycotting this World Cup, partially because of the awful human rights violations in Qatar, but mostly because I'm an Italy fan and they're not in, and Stunt and Steve is a Colombia supporter and they're not in. But, Brian, isn't it kind of odd that so many of these games we're seeing like 7, 8, 9 minutes of added time. Like I've never seen anything like this. And in that game when Spain was up 5-0 the other day, they added a bunch of time to that. Usually when a team is up 5-0 and once you hit 90, you're just like, okay, we're good here. We don't need to see anything else. And they scored 2 goals in stoppage time. Iran scored their first goal against Wales today in the 98th minute. Why are we even adding this much time?
You know, Stunt and Steve and I were just talking about that, two different things. The stoppage time, because it's oddly high. And I know they said at the beginning, they want to make sure that when it truly the ball stops and it's out of bounds or someone's hurt, they're going to put on the pure time back. And I go, listen, this game hasn't stopped once and we got 6 minutes of stoppage time.
It's crazy.
I mean, I get it for the England game against Iran. You had 14 minutes in the first half because the goalkeeper damn near knocked himself out cold in the game and let him go back in. But in the second half, they gave him 10 minutes of stoppage time. I'm like, what is going on? But the thing that I truly am going to miss this World Cup, and I know Stun Steve's going to miss this too, but those Colombian watch parties here in Miami.
Oh yeah. My
goodness, I am mad that they didn't make it, and it's not even my team, but I do enjoy a good Colombian watch party.
Those are the best.
Italy, y'all ain't really got no watch parties in Miami, so I ain't worried about
that.
Well,
there's just not enough Italians.
No, and when y'all huddle up to one little spot and don't let anybody else in, so, you know, Colombians at least let us in enjoying the fun and get the dance with everybody.
Colombia is more inclusive. A lot more people are invited to the parties. Now you, am I right in saying, or am I mischaracterizing, that you've got a, do you root for England? Do you have a soft spot for the English national team?
That's been my team since 7 years old. You know this.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So who are you rooting for today? Are you Benedict Arnold, or are you actually a real American?
No, I'm not. Listen, I always tell people this. You know, everyone talks about, I do this because of my family and my blood. Well, my family and my blood is from England and Northern Ireland. I had a British passport before I had an American passport. So as much as I love the good old US of A, I don't sell out on my teams. And I only have 3 teams that I root for, and one is in England. And you know who I'm going for today, baby. It's not even close. I was saying, I went to the USA party, the watch party at Bottle Blonde on Monday. against Wales and USA. And I went neutral, got invited some friends, and everyone's talking about, yeah, you know, when we play England, when we do this, you know, I'm like, who's we? I mean, unless y'all want me to rock my England jersey watching it, because they're like, hold up, what? I'm like, yeah, bro, that's my team. That's fam.
Now, you know, England, they ran up the score against Iran the other day. And
did
I
we,
do
though?
Believe,
it was just play. Yeah.
I do believe England is better than Team USA. At the same time, I'm not really sure how much better they are because, Brian, the English football media are, I call them, actually, I don't know if I can say the word on the radio that I call them. let's say I'll call them prem heads, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They get so inflated on everything English being the best. I was watching a video of some, like, professional English football pundits comparing the England starting 11 to Brazil starting 11.
Oh,
and basically their conclusion was the entire starting 11 of England is better than the entire man by man better than Brazil, which is some of the most laughable nonsense I've ever heard in my entire life. So if you were to ask like Gary Neville, who's going to win today England against the U.S., he'd probably predict like a 9-0 England walk in the park today. I do think England is going to win, but I can never tell how good they are because their pundits are some of the most biased individuals on planet Earth.
Oh, and I think that's where, you know, you get the bad rap, you know, as far as like English fans, because like you said, the media is terrible. Half the fan base is god awful.
It's coming home.
And you hate them, and it's coming home. You're like, bro, it hasn't came home since 66. Shut up and just watch the tournament. Like, just enjoy the game. And
let it come home first.
Exactly. If they win it, they win it. And now there's more pressure because the women won it last summer in the Euros. So they've actually won a big tournament, and you guys haven't won anything. And I think that's kind of where, you know, I think media is the one that people hate certain teams because of media, right? Because look at Alexi Lawless for the USA team. Like, I don't get how he's still on the broadcast. He is so terrible, and
he's
so biased towards USA. Like, he thinks the world of his team in the worst way. Like, yes, I think this USA team has come light years from what we're used to when we were growing up, you know, with the Kobe Joneses of the world and the Alexi Lawless of the world. Now you have guys playing in the top flight, you know, leagues around the world with Pulisic playing in Chelsea.
Well, why is Kobe Jones getting astray?
Well, I'm just saying these are the names that we had before, and they were all playing in the MLS. You know, like the way that you become a great team and competes with the you know, the Belgians and the France and the Brazils, that you have to play in those competitions week in and week out, you know, and that's one thing that Jurgen Klinsmann did, that used to be the manager for the USA team. He pushed his guys to go play overseas, because unless you're playing against the best guys overseas, once you get at that tournament, you're going to be a step behind. And I get it. They want to grow Major League Soccer, and everybody here in the States wants that to grow. That's a soccer fan. But if you truly want your team to compete with the likes of the top 10 in the world, top 5 of the world, you have to play against them week in and week out. And you see that now with Weston McKennie overseas, with Borussia Dortmund and Juventus, and Sergino Dest playing at Barcelona. I think he's still there, or Juve.
He's actually at my crosstown rivals, AC Milan now.
Oh, so they loaned him out.
Yeah.
Okay,
they loaned him out. Yeah.
I mean, it's still top flight.
So, yeah, so that's basically like when you come from a country that's outside of Europe, you always want your guys, obviously, to stay, but once they get good enough, you know they're going to go to Europe, and that's where you want them to go.
You want them,
to shine. Perfect example, in Colombia, Luis Diaz, he was playing
For Liverpool.
He was playing in Junior de Barranquilla.
All the South American leagues do that. It's like, you know, because you got some good teams, obviously, in the Argentinian league, Brazilian, I'm sure Colombian league as well. But they know, like, this league is for players on the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And once they hit a certain level, you know, you want to sell them to a big European club, A, to make big profit to reinvest in your club. But also, it's for the good of the country. That's why, you know, these South American countries have some pretty darn good teams, and their players get that experience in Europe.
And then you look at the team that's about to play right now in Senegal. You know, they lost Mane, who's obviously one of the best players in the world. But if you don't lose Mane, 10 of their 11 starters play in the top flight leagues in Europe. And that's why they're so scrappy, and that's why they always play so well when it comes to the big teams, because they play against them week in and week out. They're not scared. They've been there before. And some of those guys are teammates with some of the best in the world. So that's why, when it comes to, you look at this USA team and it gives you hope, is that because some of these guys play in the top competition. And they're also it's a very young team. Let's just call it what it is. It's a very young team. Like, for that 2026 World Cup, once they get about another 4 or 5 years under their belt of being in the World Cup this year, and then also, you know, maturing and playing in those top leagues when they're about 26, 27, 28, that's when you should really see this USA team, like, take off as far as saying, we're going to make some noise in the World Cup.
Well, by that point, Italy's going to be back, so don't even worry about it.
Are you sure? I don't know about you guys. Sometimes you
48 teams, man. There's no excuses.
You win the Euros, and all of a sudden, two World Cups in a row, you're like, we don't want to take part in this one. I don't get it with you guys sometimes.
Well, you remember who we beat in the Euros, don't you?
No, I don't. I have no idea. I'm still waiting for the red card, but hey, who knows that?
that was a yellow.
Or the handball against Spain inside the box, but I guess that wasn't a handball either, right?
No, of course not.
Of course not. No, not Italians. Not the way you guys answer things, right?
By the way, moving on, we get a tweet from Mike. He says, and this is actually a good point. We were just talking college football with Don Bailey Jr. and talking about bowl games. And Mike writes in, I don't understand why people in the media talk bad about too many bowl games. It's their bread and butter. I mean, he's right about that because, like, you know, a lot of media people, like, I mean, I'm a Hurricanes fan, but I'm also a guy who will make more money if they go to a bowl game because I'm going to have an extra post game show to work. So that's one of the reasons why I want them to play in a bowl game. But he's right. I don't know why anyone in the media would complain about more bowl games because it's more work.
And it's also potentially we could be in the first Boston game this year at the Fenway Bowl. Is one of the bowls that is up for the Canes.
We're doing more football games than baseball teams. Can we please stop with that?
I don't get it, but I mean, historically, that'd be interesting as a player to say you went to Fenway, played on the field,
and went to Boston.
But I'm with you. I don't get it. Like, it doesn't work. Like, and the stadium's not set up for it. So you got seats that are 100 yards away. You're like, did you see who scored? Nah, man, I need binoculars. Give me the binoculars.
Did you ever go to any soccer? Oh, no, I'm sorry, any football games at the Marlins Park, or just see them on TV? Because those were awful.
Oh, I saw them. Yeah, the one where they had the big brawl.
Yes,
I watched that one. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. But I mean, we played against on the Marlins fields when we flipped over from the OB, and I remember feeling sorry for Bosher because here he is kicking off on clay, and it just wasn't. It's not what you want from your football team. Like, just go ahead and get in the football stadiums. And I get it.
The reason why Miami lost to FIU, well, two reasons. One, Jaren Williams was out drinking the night before and broke curfew, allegedly. And two, they played it at Marlins Park. It was that weird Fugazi baseball stadium thing. So that wasn't good.
And then he also was doing some other things, too. But, hey, I still don't know how he got away with that. Things must have changed. You know, when we were there, we had a cop on every single floor. You couldn't even leave to do anything. And then also, why would you want to leave doing anything? You got a game the next day.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about it.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's. I've seen some things in social media with him saying some stuff and some former players going at him. And
Scott Patchen just eviscerated him.
Yeah, like I'm not going to say anything on it because I remember him putting out something about him needing to take care of himself. He put out a long message that he's retiring from football to take care of himself, get himself healthy in the mind. So I don't know if he was going through something, so I won't, say anything. But if a guy in your own locker room that knows you better than anybody says something, I'm going to go ahead and agree with that guy since he's been in there with you and we heard the rumors and we can't confirm it. But I'm going to go with the guy that literally gave up body parts to play for the U.
Yes. If you want to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us, 305-567-0560. That's 305-567-0560. Somebody in the 305 says, does Monroe have tea and crumpets? I think they're mad at you for turning your back on the country where you live.
It's not turning my back on anything. It's about my team. Like, well, I don't get it. I don't have tea and crumpets. I have tea and biscuits, baby. Give me a scone all day. Put some jam and some butter on that. Don't worry. I'm going to have my whiskey today. We're going to have a good time. 2 o'clock, baby.
How about this one on the text line? This is so true. Brazil versus Colombia is definitely the hottest watch party.
What? Hey, listen. I literally, pivoted and said, okay, Colombia's not in. All right, where are my Brazilian fans at? Okay, where is the watch party? And then one of my friends, she was like, oh, yeah, Thursday we're going to do this. And I go, okay, Thursday I'm there. I'm like, wait, Thursday's Thanksgiving. Damn, I can't go. So next week, I believe they play Monday at 11. So Anybody in the text line, Miami-Dade, Brazilian watch party, text them in. I don't know the Brazilian spots. Like, I know two Brazilian spots in Miami at all. So I don't know where the watch parties are for the Brazil team, but I would like to show up.
Probably just roll up to a Texas Day Brazil, and then maybe they'll point you into the right spot.
I could go in there, because there's one called, what is it, Berries? I know I'm butchering it, but it's Bodies. They have that in Brickell that I know is an Argentina-Brazilian spot. And then there's one off of, right down the street from here, at 79th, down to the right. It's a small spot. Hole in the wall, but I went there for some food and someone told me it's a good happy hour and it's a Brazilian spot. But again, it probably holds 30 people, 40 people, and there's going to be probably 1,000 for the game. So just, you know, nice little Brazilian spot somewhere with some good fans. I'm there because, again, like you mentioned, the English media, they're idiots, because when you look at this Brazilian team, top to bottom, one of the most talented teams, and one of the reasons why I never picked Brazil in the last couple World Cups to win it all is because, you know, when you watch the Brazils of the past, they've had a killer, you know, in Ronaldo and Romario in the 90s. And I just felt Neymar was very soft, and he was like, he's not a guy that if I need a goal, I'm going to go towards him all the time. He always falls.
If you need a foul, that's who you make sure you get him into the box.
And that's why you never really trust him. And and to me, this Brazil team, you never had that killer. But you got Rich Arlson that just had one of the most nasty scissor kick goals in the World Cup, probably the goal in the tournament right now. That if he can be that guy, then, you know, look out, man. This Brazil team, boy. They're fun to watch, though. I mean, I don't know if you remember back in the 90s and early 2000s where they had the commercial of them going through the airport.
That was great. That was the 98 World Cup commercial.
Beautiful.
with my guy R9 who played for Inter, the real Ronaldo with the gap tooth. Oh, I love that dude.
But then think about their team with Cafu, Rivaldo, Roberto Carlos. I mean, man, you want to talk about stacked. God, I want to go back to that era.
Me too.
Yeah, because, you know, you guys were, you know, the Italian soccer league was actually good back then, right?
Yeah, England was even more irrelevant than they are now at that point. I remember the 94 World Cup, England didn't even qualify.
Yeah, see, that's the first World Cup I remember, and I just remember Roberto Baggio kicking it over the goal and losing in the finals. Who was that?
That was rough, man.
Oh, that was rough. Yeah, that was.
He played for Juventus at that time, so I was, you know, I didn't
like him.
I didn't like him. He actually, a few years later, he played for Inter, but at that point, he played for Juventus, so I was not a fan. 305-567-0560. That's 305-567-0560 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Oh, this is a great text. Hey, Monroe, most of us are married and living through you. I'm the same way. I'm totally that way.
I mean, listen, you know, we're just home for Thanksgiving. Hope everyone had a good, you know, Thanksgiving and stuff like that. And you know, the question is pretty much just stop, you know, like, so, you know, you're dating anybody? And my mom already knows the answer. Like, yeah, just don't answer that. You know, I'm like, yeah, you know, casually, you know, enjoying life, you know, it's just one of those things. I think it's Miami that does it to me, right? All my friends back home, kids, got their jobs, or their thing.
If you lived, because you're about the same age as me, late 30s. If you lived anywhere else, you would be married with three kids by now.
If I lived back home, it'd be game over. I'd be done. There's really nothing to do as a single man in Palm Beach, really. It ain't got much. Like, you drive down to Delray now, but other than that, you do the same thing. So, yeah, I think it's Miami, but I'm not mad.
Yeah,
I enjoy Miami a lot.
We'll be back. We'll wrap up the 7 o'clock hour here on the Joe Rose Show, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Hey. Yo.
Happy Black Friday to everybody out there. And happy, I guess we could still say happy Thanksgiving, right? Because I didn't really talk to either of you guys, Brian or Stunt and Steve. I didn't really talk to any of the listeners yesterday, so I will give you guys a happy Thanksgiving. Brian, what was the best thing on your table yesterday? What did you stuff your face on the most?
Dressing, baby. That's what I look forward to.
I love that, too.
Or stuffing, as some people call it. It's funny. I always look more towards the sides than I do. Like, turkey's cool, but I eat turkey all the time, so it's not like I run to the table to get some turkey. I do love a good honey-baked ham. That's always fire. But yeah, the sides, man, some good dressing, some mashed potatoes, some good Bahamian rice. You know, my mom does this turnips and carrots thing that with butter. That's fire. Yeah, it's just, you know, all the fatty stuff I love. Turkey, yeah, cool, gravy. But yeah, and the desserts. I'm a big dessert guy, so
oh my God.
Gotta stuff my face with desserts.
Yeah, I mean, my Italian father made an amazing Thanksgiving lasagna.
I saw that on your message. Dude, I was like, lasagna? So well, I mean, I guess that's the same thing for us during Christmas because my cousin, he doesn't really eat turkey or ham, so he'll normally put steaks on the grill and lobster tails. So I'm always happy with some good old lobster tails for Christmas. So Italian lasagna for Thanksgiving, I see that. That's
we had
cool.
Turkey also, though. I mean, there was lasagna, which was excellent. We also had quiche. Turkey dressing was made. We didn't have any mac and cheese because when you have a great lasagna, you don't really require mac and cheese.
I mean, mac and cheese, you gotta have some good mac and cheese though.
We skipped the mac and cheese this year. There were some really fire Brussels sprouts were really good. Some crispy potatoes, but I didn't end up getting any of those. I just went for seconds and thirds on the dressing and on the lasagna. Mm. And some shrimp, and I don't know if I'm – there was gravy, obviously, and I don't know if I'm leaving anything out, but I think that was the gist of it. It was a lot of food.
I know one thing. When I leave here, I'm getting me some leftovers, baby.
Oh, there's going to be leftovers for days. My father cooks so much. There's going to be – I mean, the challenge for us the week after Thanksgiving is, can we eat all the leftovers before they spoil?
Oh, yeah. That's right? A good challenge right there. That's a great challenge.
It's a great challenge. Yeah. It's like – I mean, if you want to try and guess correctly and put a couple things in the freezer for, you know, for another week, sure. But I try and eat everything before it spoils.
You know, and then I also like going through social media on Thanksgiving – for people that post their plates or their turkey that they made.
Don't do that. That's a setup.
Or their lack thereof. Like, I know some people are trolling, like, oh, they're doing this on purpose. But definitely. There's a couple people that truly believe that that turkey is done. And
it's
there's no seasoning on that turkey.
Yeah, nothing.
It's
nothing.
White as heck. Like, where's some spice and some flavor? Like, and then, I don't know if you guys saw, and again, it could have been a setup, but there was a young lady making her collard greens in the bathtub. She was washing them off in the bathtub.
Was it the same house where they were using the washing machine?
The washer dryer. Well, I actually think the washer machine one was a Latin family, and then this one was a black family washing the. And I go, this is why I don't eat at other people's houses, because you're telling me you washing your greens
where you bathe
in the bathtub.
Yeah, it's bad.
You're gonna have a side of something else in your greens, you know, and I don't know, again, I don't know, with social media, you never know if someone's doing it on purpose and they're trolling, but there's a handful of people that are like, this is what I really do, and it's going to be good. No, it's not. It's going to be disgusting.
Got to keep some stuff to yourself.
But everybody wants to put on social media. Like, I saw someone posted something up today where the gravy was pink on the turkey, and someone's like, "What'd you get? A side of Pepto Bismol in there?" But I know there was like a pink crave of some sauce going around back in the day or this year, and I don't know if it was that. But I'm not eating something that has pink all over the turkey. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, I'm not either. Somebody writes in that they had cracked conch.
Oh,
that's
my
solid.
God,
I love cracked conch.
I need the invitation next year. That's that. It's Thanksgiving right there. Some Bahamian mac and cheese, some peas and rice, and some cracked conch and some conch salad. Oh, man. Sweet baby Jesus, I'm going back to Bahamas. Let's go.
But then the same texter writes in, Dono, you had quiche? Come on, man. What's wrong with a little quiche, man?
Is, I mean, come on. Quiche doesn't hold, you know, crack conk's jock. Let's call it.
No, it doesn't.
Is.
But I don't see anything wrong with having a little quiche yesterday. It was actually one of the best things on the table.
Did you have the quiche like as a warm up leading up to it? Like
yeah, it was
12,
a warm up.
11 o'clock.
Yeah.
You guys have the quiche.
I ate it kind of as my like part of my appetizer, like my first course.
Okay, because so you know Italians do probably what still a 5-course meal when it comes to Thanksgiving, regardless, right?
Everything's 5-course.
Your,
I mean, just a regular two. Yeah. Regular Tuesday night dinner is 5 courses.
Oh, 100%. And then you have like your two different wines on the table, white and red. You have a little limoncello at the end too?
Yes, absolutely.
See, this, I like me Italians too, man. That limoncello at the end be hitting.
Oh, man. We had some Prosecco, some limoncello. I had a little red wine. Probably why I woke up with a bit of a headache at 5 in the morning. Yeah, not going to lie to you.
You mix bubbles with sugar and red. Yeah.
And Ambien.
You're asking for a little bit of a headache.
Surprise you woke
up. Yeah, a
today.
Little bit.
Surprise you got up, for real.
Dude, and when I woke up today, like, I didn't know where I was. Like, I'm like, where am I? It was like, and also, it's like, it's super dark at 5 a.m. because usually I wake up when, like, the sun's, you know, a little bit out there. So I wake up at 5 a.m. It's pitch black, and I'm like, I couldn't remember, like, what city I'm in. Am I in a hotel room somewhere? What is going on? I didn't know what was happening.
Gotta love it, man. That I, you know what, though? I don't know if anybody else there was like this. I ate way too much, and it was like I was having an issue falling asleep. Like, I got back into Miami, and I was like, you know what? I kind of want some leftovers already. I ate again, and I'm sitting there in bed like, yeah, that was a wrong idea. I'm heartburn. I'm like, damn, I'm getting old. But I was just too stuffed to go to sleep.
Yeah. I thought of, you know, it's funny you say that because, like, around like, 9 o'clock, I was, like, getting this urge to, like, heat up some leftovers.
Yes.
And my goal was to be in bed by 10, which I did accomplish that, or 10-ish anyway. I don't know exactly what time it was. But I resisted the temptation. I'm like, you know what? If I heat up some quiche before I go to bed tonight, I'm not going to be feeling great during the night. So I resisted the temptation.
Yeah, see, I heated up some mashed potatoes, some rice, and some dressing again. I was like, I got to do it. I just got to do it.
Oh, I love it. 8 o'clock hour coming up. Joe Rose Show with Zach Krantz, Dono and Monroe with you. We got Stunt and Steve here with us on this Black Friday extravaganza on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.